You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thanks for tuning in for this week's best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. We're going to start by kicking things off with part of Thursday's show, where Todd broadcast live from Black River Falls. It was a bit of a hectic day for him, and he did not intend to broadcast from there. Ended up having low battery, a literal pit of snakes a few feet away. It was a whole deal. But we had on Alex Midorsky of the Nature Conservancy and had an amazing conversation about conservation here in Wisconsin. Enjoy.
Live on location, it's the Todd Allbaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, live on location here in Black River Falls on the banks of the Black River here at the Mark Holmgreen Memorial Boat Launch, where a boat has just launched. It is Thursday, May 22nd, 2025. Yes, and a bird crapped on the, about a foot from us right before we went on the air. But no, this is the great outdoors. This is what makes Wisconsin great because it's safe. It's when you're in a studio, everything is calm. You know everything is going on. What really matters, can you get out there in nature, take on the elements, and have a little fun? Have a little. It keeps you on top of your toes, Zomers. It reinvigorates the soul. That's what we say so often. Get out, as the kids say, touch grass, and enjoy nature, right? So
absolutely.
Coming up a little bit later. Yeah, absolutely. Coming up a little bit later this hour, our What's Worse, our category for today, timely indeed, what's worse, heights or water? Heights or water? So that's coming up a little bit later this hour. But we bring on our next guest here, speaking of conservation, speaking of getting into the great outdoors. He is the Associate Director of Government Relations for the Nature Conservancy. He joins us live via StreamYard. Alex Midorsky joins us. Alex, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Todd.
It's our pleasure. And for those watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and the like, now you have a beautiful green screen of a lake behind you. People are wondering over the break, asking, am I in front of a green screen? No, I can tell you that this shot is live and in person.
Yes, unfortunately, this is a green screen, but we're looking at a beautiful green space up in Presque Isle, very top of the state. Vilas County, and preserved in part using the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program, that part of the state.
Very, very appropriate indeed. We're going to get into that in a minute. But I always like when we have people on the show that have never been here before, like me, who spent some time in the state capitol. But tell folks a little bit about yourself, Alex, where you grew up, and how you got into working for the Nature Conservancy.
Sure. So I grew up in majestic Cleveland, Ohio, Todd. It's got a
bad rap
that it doesn't deserve. Great city. It's no Wisconsin,
agreed,
of course. No Madison.
You have Lake Erie.
Grew up on the shores of Lake Erie and came to UW-Madison to go to college. My grandma, who was one of the people I got the political bug from, was a badger for Stevenson, Adlai Stevenson, way back in 1952.
Wow.
She passed a few years ago at 95. So she was one of those folks who volunteered on campaigns every 2 years. So I knew what a great school this was from her. And when I started looking around to go to colleges and I checked the campus out, I thought this was the place for me. So came to college here, started working on campaigns and in the state legislature, went home to get a law degree and practice law for a couple of years, but you know, litigation wasn't really my thing. So I came back to work in the legislature, worked for a decade for four different state legislators, and I've been at the Nature Conservancy and loving it for 6 years now.
I think that's fantastic. I've visited Cleveland, and I think you're right. It does get a bit of a bad rap, but boy, I spent time. I went to the Rock and Roll Museum, Hall of Fame Museum there, right on Lake Erie. You got the Brown Stadium. At the time I went there, it was still relatively new, but also you can walk to it from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame right there on Lake Erie. Lots of things to do there, but again, I think Cleveland was really smart. Is it too much being a native Clevelander? Is that how you say it? I mean, I think Cleveland was really smart situating those two things, the Brown Stadium and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, on Lake Erie, because there's a whole district of kind of conservancy and conservation all along there, where people just hang out and enjoy nature as well.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful lakefront, and it reminds you of the remarkable things that can happen when you employ those conservation principles in urban spaces. So it's a really beautiful place, and most of that development all took place during my lifetime. So I grew up in a place and time where they sort of told you, don't dive into Lake Erie because you're going to come out with three eyeballs and gills. And now most of the lake, although there have been, you know, algae incidents in the past, is clean and it's healthy and it's home to a lot of great species. You can fish for walleye, and it's a great example of what we can do if we put our minds into conserving things for anglers and for everybody who enjoys lake environments.
It's a great success story, and you're absolutely right. It's a great example. I think we need to look to more of these when we do things the right way, when we invest in conservation and our natural resources. It can pay a dividend back, because there's a huge economic boom in Cleveland, and that part, as I understand it, I mean, it draws a lot of people there. And so it's not just taking care of the earth. It's also providing economic benefits as well. Let's move a little bit closer to home. And, I like to say Wisconsin's always home. I think it's interesting you decided to come back here, because I think that's part of what makes Wisconsin great, is that it's not just native Wisconsinites like me, but when we bring in folks, whether it's from Cleveland or all other parts of the state or parts of the country to Wisconsin, our diversity is our strength. And now you find yourself as the Associate Director of Government Relations for the Nature Conservancy. Tell us a little bit about the Nature Conservancy, what you all do, where you're located, and how people could get involved.
Absolutely. So the Nature Conservancy is the world's largest environmental organization. We are in 79 different countries. I have about 6,000 colleagues worldwide. Here in Wisconsin, we've been helping to protect nature and all the species and human beings that thrive in it since 1959. And we've protected over 240,000 acres of some of this state's most beautiful wild lands and waters that everyone can enjoy for free at all of our preserves. And we work very hard on that. We work very hard on tackling climate change, because we know all 240,000 of those acres are at risk if we don't do something about that. And we also do a lot of work with sustainable agriculture. It's been a fascinating process for me, Todd, since I joined the Nature Conservancy. I come from three generations of lawyers with smooth city hands. I didn't know much about farms when I joined the Nature Conservancy. And seeing what conservation groups and farmers can do when they work together so we all have cleaner water to drink has been an absolutely unbelievable experience for me. So I love doing that work as well.
We're talking with Alex Bodorski, Associate Director of Government Relations for the Nature Conservancy. So help me understand, is there, for lack of a better term, a Wisconsin chapter where you focus just on Wisconsin issues, then tie in nationally, internationally, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we have the Wisconsin chapter. If I wanted to use our nerdy internal language, we are the Wisconsin business unit of the Nature Conservancy. But we are in all 50 states, I should mention, in addition to all 79 countries. And we work closely with our colleagues in the Midwest as well as in DC on all sorts of policy issues. My primary focus is on state level policy issues. We're based in Madison. We have a shiny new office in one of those fancy new buildings on the Capitol Square. Come by and visit me sometime.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, that would be great. I'd love to show you around. So that's where we're based, but we have preserves all over this state in the Northwoods and the Baraboo Hills near Mukwonago. So it is really a pleasure to work for the Nature Conservancy. It's done so many wonderful things in this state. And I'll admit, before I joined TNC, I was probably a consummate indoorsman. I didn't make it outside quite as much as I should have. And one reason it's been great working for TNC is, especially in the post-pandemic world, this is not an original observation, but people really started getting outside to keep themselves grounded and to keep themselves sane and healthy and doing all of those wonderful things.
One of the things I love about conservation issues is, at least it should be theoretically, something that brings folks together. As a former Republican myself who left the party in 2011, I mean, you look at from Teddy Roosevelt, even through Tommy Thompson, we had Tia Nelson, daughter of former U.S. Senator and Governor Democrat Gaylord Nelson, was on the show on Earth Day. And she said, look, I mean, Tommy likes to point out that he put more land into preservation in Wisconsin than my dad did when he was governor. And so at one time, these were issues that brought folks together. And one of those is the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund, whether you're talking former state senator Rob Coles from the Green Bay area to the Democrats, Rob Coles, Republican. These, again, were issues that brought people together. A minute left here, so we'll pick it up on the other side. But talk to us a little bit about where we're at with the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund.
Sure. So I'll quickly introduce that program to your listeners. The Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program is named after two great Wisconsin statesmen, one Republican, one Democrat, Governor Warren Knowles, who started our state's first land conservation program, a Republican, and the great Tia Nelson's father, Senator Gaylord Nelson, who founded Earth Day. And it says it all there in the title, I like to tell people. It's a bipartisan program, should continue on this basis, and it's wildly popular with voters, whether they vote for Democrats, Republicans, or they consider themselves independents. So it is very much in that spirit of bipartisan Wisconsin conservation leadership.
Yeah, it really is. And we're going to come back and talk more with Alex Modorsky on the other side, the Associate Director of Government Relations at the Nature Conservancy. Because whether you're someone who considers yourself more on the liberal side and just wants to go out and walk through the woods, or whether you're someone who might be more of a Republican voter, not to say there aren't Democrats that hunt as well and say, well, I'm just all about going out hunting. All of us in Wisconsin, you can't do any of those things if nature isn't able to do its job and keep it safe and keep it clean. So these programs should be helping everybody, and they do. We'll come back more and talk more. Alex Modorsky on the other side. We are live on the banks of the snaky Black River in Black River Falls. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Thanks for sticking with us on the Best of the Todd Allball Show. Here's the rest of Todd's conversation with Alex Modorsky of the Nature Conservancy. Voices in your body coming through on the radio. The union of the snake is on the climb. Moving on, it's gonna race, it's gonna
race. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, live on location along the banks of the Black River in beautiful Black River Falls, Wisconsin, across the Civic Media Radio Network. Our friend and ongoing contributor, Jeff Perry, saying, Zomers, you should play Union of the Snakes by Duran Duran. Well done, Zomers. Nicely done indeed. The snakes have not moved. They're still in their little den, I guess you would call it. More importantly, we're joined to talk about other conservation issues that don't include snakes by Alex Modorsky, the Associate Director of Government Relations at the Nature Conservancy. Alex, before to break, introduced a little bit the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund. Former Republican Governor Warren Knowles, former Democratic Governor and U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson, who started and founded Earth Day. What does this program mean for the state of Wisconsin, and why does it appear to be, if not in danger, certainly a concern right now as we look at the current budget process in Wisconsin?
Well, it means everything. It means a lot. I was thinking about this interview, Todd, today before I joined you to chat. And when we talk about the outdoors, it does everything from protect wildlife species to protect wetlands. It also, for local units of government, does things like create trails, creates parks, helps protect them. You're on a boat launch today. There's a whole sub-program of this Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program that's dedicated to making sure boaters can enjoy that activity. And every acre of land we have at the Nature Conservancy based on this program is open to all nature-based outdoor activities, as we call them, including hunting, fishing, and trapping. And those are such an important part of our state's cultural heritage that I'm glad we can offer that to every Wisconsinite and everyone who wants to visit this state for free. It's a public-private matching grant program, so we don't get this money for free from the state government. We got to show up at the table and explain to the Department of Natural Resources, here's what we think we can do, here's what we think we can protect, and here's what we think people can use. So here's the money we can bring to the table. Can you help us out? The program, I think, is not unique in facing some challenges in the legislature, to the extent that that process doesn't always move as smoothly as perhaps most Wisconsinites would ideally like. But that's one reason we continue to go back to the legislature and tout these polls that say 93% of Wisconsinites support the stewardship program. That's true whether you're talking to a Democratic voter or Republican voter. It doesn't matter what part of the state you're talking to people in. They support this program, and they want to see Wisconsin continue to be a conservation leader going forward.
I think it's so important that you point this out because, again, there's a lot of rhetoric right now, particularly from my former party, about handouts, about, you know, quote-unquote welfare programs. There's a lot of that focus in D.C. right now, but also some of it in the state capitol. Really important to point out that the stewardship fund, it requires to have private partnership money as well. And so you have to prove, as you said, that these programs are for the public good. In this era where everyone wants to talk about, you know, efficiencies and the made-up thing of DOGE and all that, these programs are really well thought out, they're really well overseen, and they're really well administered.
I think that's right. The Department of Natural Resources has a great process, a competitive process that people who want these grants go through. They're looked at by real estate appraisal professionals who have experience in the relevant sorts of environments and ecosystems that we're talking about. And it's really a win-win, especially as I think if you look at traditional industry in Wisconsin like forestry, $42 billion a year industry. Look at the fastest growing sector of our economy, and that's tourism, $25 billion a year. Between those two things, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of jobs a year. And this program supports that sustainable forestry. It supports protecting an environment that people want to come up from the Chicago suburbs or wherever they may, spend their money on some old fashions at some supper clubs in addition to the hunting and fishing and other activities they want to do up here. So it's a win-win in every way I can think of for the environment and the economy.
The time always goes too fast. Going to have you back on soon. But Alex, take about 2 minutes. Talk to us about the implications of the Stewardship Fund in agriculture in Wisconsin.
Sure. So the Stewardship Fund doesn't directly involve agriculture, but I can talk to you a little bit about some overlaps there.
Sure.
The work the Nature Conservancy does. We're really proud, and this is consistent with the bipartisan theme, to work on something we call our Clean Water Initiative with the Dairy Business Association, Clean Wisconsin, another environmental group, and Wisconsin Land and Water. They're our state's county conservation staff organization. Historically, sometimes these groups butted heads, and we said, it doesn't have to be that way. Let's sit down, develop a shared agenda. who cares who used to be in what party or whatever, and let's hammer some good things out, like planting cover crops that help us get clean water and really help soak up the carbon so it doesn't go out into the atmosphere. It helps us do things like producer-led watershed groups, which are farmer-led groups. They talk to one another, implement the best practices, and it helps. This group is advocating for money for our county conservation agents as well. They are the boots on the ground that work with farmers to implement the nutrient management plans that they envision on their farms to keep things safe for us. And we have the Great Lakes as a wonderful natural asset, and we have access to so much wonderful dairy food here in the state of Wisconsin. We can keep our water clean at the same time, and that's why I love working with ag groups and farmers as well, to make sure we work together, build that nonpartisan dialogue to get to great conservation outcomes and economic growth in the state.
Alec Podorsky of the Nature Conservancy done a great job of explaining this. Thank you very much for being here. Thanks for what you do. You're part of what makes Wisconsin great. Come on back.
Thank you so much, Todd. I hope you have a great
Our
day.
Pleasure.
Be careful with those rattlers up there in Black River Falls, okay?
Up next, we're going to skip ahead to Friday's show, where Todd is joined by Peter Rapine, managing editor of eBombs World, with a wacky week in review. Some of the craziest things that real people actually did over the last few weeks. There are some really funny ones here. You won't want to miss it. On this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. Now we're going to skip ahead to Friday's show, where Todd was broadcasting live from the Kreitlow Estate, the Kreitlow compound, the stately Kreitlow Manor, whatever you want to call it, Pat Kreitlow's house on Lake Wissota. And here is Todd's conversation with Peter Rapine, managing editor of eBombs World, about crazy things that people really did in the last few weeks. Enjoy.
Live on location from beautiful Lake Wissota in northern Wisconsin, this is the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. TGIF, that means it's Friday. No better way to end the week than with our friend, our ongoing contributor. He is the managing editor of EPOM's World, joining us from beautiful Brooklyn, New York. It's Mr. Peter Rapine. Peter, how the heck are you?
I'm doing great. I'm here with you.
Oh, you're too kind. Well, you always feel better when you join us, Peter, because at the end of the show, we have a smile on our face after we've laughed a little bit, and it always makes us feel better spending time with you.
And same for me, because it's a nice way to sign off every week. I get reminded of some of my favorite stories. I get to make you laugh. We all have a ball.
We absolutely do. We're here at beautiful Lake Wissota, as you see behind me here. Now, before, because people are curious, people have built up a rapport with you, Peter. They've they come to know you a little bit, and we appreciate that about you. You've told us now a couple weeks ago that you've met this new significant other, this young woman in Mexico, and we understand now things are going very well, and you're going to Europe now to meet her. Is this right?
I am. She's out there right now. She's actually listening right now too. So
is she really?
I love that.
I mean, I thought I was doing pretty well at Lake Wissota, but it ain't no Zurich.
Yeah, she's meeting friends, and so I'm going to meet her in Zurich, and we're We're going to Berlin, two places I've never been. So
really? I've heard Berlin is a big club, but it's like a big party place.
That's what they say.
Are you a big Peter? Now, Peter, this is very interesting to me, because are you the kind of guy that likes to go out into clubs and dance until 3 a.m, or are you more of a wine and chill guy?
It depends on the day. But I live in New York, so there a few nights are better than nights when you leave your house at midnight and you don't get home until 6 a.m.
A few nights are better, you're saying?
Yeah. So I do. I like to go out and I live
That tells me everything I need to know.
You can definitely find a lot of that in Berlin. A lot of techno.
Have you been?
I'm really excited.
No, I'm just familiar with a lot of musicians who live and or work there.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, we'll have to have a full update when you return from Europe, Peter.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Looking forward to that. All right. Here we go. All these stories can be found at ebombsworld.com, ebombsworld.com. And as a reminder, these are not fiction. This is not stuff that Peter has made up. These are actual real headlines from actual real stupid humans. Am I right?
Yes. And no one either dumber or smarter than the first guy in our first story today. Headline reads, a DoorDash driver accidentally ended up on the Chicago O'Hare runway.
A DoorDash driver accidentally ends up on the Chicago O'Hare runway. How did this come about?
They don't know, actually. No one is sure how he got there. He didn't get charged. They let him go scot-free. They were like, here's the exit, good sir. But they don't know how he ended up there. And I wonder if he even knows. Probably someone ordered DoorDash on a plane or at the airport, or maybe it was a worker or someone in, you know, like the plane maintenance facility. No one knows. But he didn't get in trouble. I imagine maybe he just, you know, gave the officers who pulled him over a free hamburger and they let him go.
I have so many questions. First of all, I have great admiration for whoever ordered it, because with the wacky airlines right now, people are spending hours stuck inside of a plane on a tarmac, either unable to get off or unable to take off. And so I think it's hilarious if someone was caught there. Well, what the heck? I'm going to order DoorDash, right? This will show them. So that's number one. Number two, though, I mean, it seems like to me, whenever I go to the airport, if I just take the wrong, you know, turn to a restroom, I find myself in trouble at the TSA. How in the world did this guy get onto the tarmac?
Right. Obviously, some security had a slight. They left the door open. They left the gate open. So, right. Fault probably not on him as much as it is on whoever's supposed to keep DoorDash drivers off of the runway. Like, if you can get onto the runway, it's not really your fault. It's someone else's
this person,
fault.
Peter says, the guy who's supposed to keep DoorDash people off the runway, as if there's a certain person just for that.
I imagine there probably should be.
Well, obviously now there certainly should be. All right. Well, that's so. And also the guy didn't get in trouble. That's crazy.
No, I think that's the best part of the story.
Right.
Yeah, the guys are probably impressed. Home. Like, I've never seen this before. Good thing you didn't get hit by a plane or something.
I think you're onto something, though. He probably just goes, hey, I got McDonald's here, Chipotle. You want some Chipotle?
Yeah, right? Who wants it? Yeah.
All right, Peter Ray Pine, next headline.
Next headline comes to us from New Jersey.
New Jersey
man crashes his car, insists it's only because he was trying to get some meatball sandwiches.
New Jersey man, not Florida man, New Jersey man crashes his car, but insists it was only to get some meatballs. Is that right?
Yeah. So this is one of the funnier police body cams we've seen. And it's a supercut of sorts of a man on his car is in a ditch on the side of the road. And he is just talking. He kind of sounds a little drunk, but he's just talking about how he's in a rush to get meatball subs. And we have some really great audio for it.
All right, here we go, Zomers.
My kids wanted some meatball sandwiches. The kids wanted meatball sandwiches.
All right.
Like, meatball sandwiches.
Fair enough.
So I'm like, I'm going to take the van and get some meatball sandwiches. I'm like, hit me up with some Wawa, get us some meatball. They wanted, everybody in the whole house is like, meatball sandwiches.
I got you.
He said, hey, get some meatball sandwiches.
Hey, listen, your kids want meatball sandwiches.
This literally is a meatball sandwich result.
Would you like the meatball sandwiches, though? They're good.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
But have you been to the new shop on Route 70, Ryan and Howie's?
Ricky Bobby, don't put the seal on me. I love me some complication. I've been in the cage, I've been in the ring, I've been in combat. I live a half mile from here.
He clearly gets bullied by his family, like as he's tipsy to go on a Wawa run for meatball subs.
That was that's some of the best audio you've ever brought us. That was spectacular. And I have a feel. There is a part of me that thinks if it wasn't New Jersey, is this guy doing DoorDash in Chicago? Well, you know, the door is some meatballs on the plane. Well, some wah wah wah, and here I am.
Well, that guy probably had some. What are those? The Chicago, the beef sandwiches.
Yeah, the Chicago beef.
The Chicago beef. That's what that guy had.
That was fantastic. We're talking to Peter Rapine, the managing editor of E-Bombs World, with the wild and wacky week in review, actual crazy humans doing actual crazy human stuff. Peter Rapine, next headline.
Okay, the next one we have, this one might actually be the best audio of the week. Dude links uncle's Tesla's turn signals to fart sound. So basically what a guy did is he hacked his uncle's Tesla. And you can turn the sounds in the car to different things. And he turned it so that every time he put on his turn signal, it made fart noises. And this
inside
is his
the
reaction
car.
Inside the car. And this is the reaction when he finds out.
All right, here we go. A man has hot-wired his uncle's Tesla. Every time the turn signal goes on, it plays fart noises on the speakers. Here we go.
We're going to go right. Take that off. You know what? You're a sick man.
Just in case you couldn't hear it listening on the radio, he says, you know what? You're a sick man.
You're a sick man. That's the sound of a guy who has given up.
Right.
He's like, I have nothing left to say.
And this just goes to prove, I keep saying this, Peter Rapine, I'm an analog guy living in a digital world. Because this just, when you get to a certain age, I would not know how to shut that off if like my nieces or my godsons were doing this. And so I have a certain amount of empathy for this guy. He's bought a Tesla. He's probably a little ashamed now he has a Tesla. And now his kids are putting fart noises on his turn signal.
Yeah, he's definitely stuck that way. But I think deep down he's enjoying it. I think there's a small part of him who's like,
yes.
I love my nephew. Oh, funny guy.
I kind of think you're right about that. He was thinking, well, you know, while I was her age, I probably would have done the same thing.
I would have done the same thing. Yeah. I mean, the future's pretty cool, though. You know, you might burn alive in your Tesla, but at least it's going to be making fart noises while you do.
You'll at least laugh on your way to death. So, heck of a way to go out. All right, Peter Rapine from EPOM's World. All these can be found at EPOMsWorld.com. Next wacky headline.
Let's meet the woman with the world's loudest burp.
Oh, are you talking about my sister? Let's meet the woman with the world's loudest burp. All right.
So a woman named Kimberly Winter from Virginia, 33 years old, registered a burp at 107.3 decibels. And she is now the official record holder for the world's loudest burp. And she credits her loud burps to Sprite, if you were wondering.
Really?
In her belly, Sprite makes the most gas.
Now, I have a lot of questions on this. Is this a world record holder where they bring in like some sort of a measurement thing to the sound or what?
Yeah.
Really?
We have some audio.
All right.
Quick note before I play it. So 107.3 decibels, the average rock concert registers between 90 and 120. So her burp is as loud as a rock concert standing in the front row.
Oh, my God.
As loud as the Foo Fighters.
Here we go.
The best drink would probably be a Sprite with a snack. And then all of a sudden you just let a big monster burp rip. My name is Kimberly Winter.
107.3.
And I hold the world record for the women's loudest burp. I've always been told that I was the loudest burper anyone's ever heard. One time I got kicked out of a bar just for one burp. A lot of people are disgusted at the dinner table. My mom hated when I burped, but I started recording my burps on TikTok and it really took off. A lot of my fans like me to burp their name. My audience grew really fast, so just be yourself because you never know how many people out there are gonna enjoy you for just being you.
Holy macaroni, that was fantastic. How many followers does she have? That's what I want to know. I bet it's huge.
I don't know. I'll follow back on that.
I mean, the fact that she created TikTok, right?
Yeah. She kind of blew up on TikTok and then. Yeah.
And there's the music and the drama. I'm going to tell my. It's like an ESPN 30 on 30, 30 for 30 or something.
Well,
just belches.
The video itself is produced by a channel called 60 Second Docs. So they make these kind of cute little promotional videos for weird, internet stories. But I.
Peter, what the hell am I doing out here next to Lake Wissota with my little dog and pony show where I can be belching for a living and with a lot more money and a lot more followers? I'm going around taking this equipment all across the state trying to talk about news when I should just be belching. You understand?
You probably should be. My one question is, why is burping segregated by sex? Why not male and female competing together?
I don't know. My sister could give her a run for the money, though. My sister's a loud belcher. We should have her on the show sometime.
Yeah, right.
All right, stay tuned. More with Peter Rapine on the other side. The Wild Wacky Week in Review. And Kreitlow may bring us a drink. Stay tuned or Lake Wissota on the All Ball Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Thanks for sticking around to the end of this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. Here, Todd is joined by Pat Kreitlow at his own fine home on Lake Wissota, where they talk to Peter Rapine, managing editor of E-Bombs World, about the craziest things that happened in the last week outside of politics. Enjoy.
Right now, joined here on set, which is beside Lake Wissota, at the stately Kreitlow Manor, by our fine host himself, the host of Mornings of Pat Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 9 across the network, Mr. Kreitlow, who has brought us a beverage. Cheers, Patrick.
It's old-fashioned time, old-fashioned o'clock here on Lake Wissota.
Oh, that's the real deal. Oh, my word, you're fantastic.
Had a little practice here over time. Some might say too much, but.
Well, we're joined, Pat, by our old friend Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, for our annual look at the wild and wacky here, the week in review. Peter, I'm sorry I don't have an old-fashioned for you, but let's take a look at the next headline. Oh, he has his own little drink there. All right, go ahead,
Peter. Yeah, I'm drinking a coffee. The next headline, and I know I've said this a few times now, but this is actually my favorite audio of the week. It's the type of story that I think only can happen in America. Headline reads, Walmart shopper has lighthearted run-in with the woman who stabbed him.
Walmart shopper has a lighthearted run-in with the woman that stabbed him. All right, go ahead.
And the preface is, I'll just say, most people say forgiveness isn't true, but true forgiveness is real. It's difficult, and this man can teach us all a lesson in that. Run the audio, that,
Aaron. All right, here we go. Audio.
Sarah.
Hi, how's it going?
Now, what happened? What'd you do to me, Sarah? Well, I caused it, though.
I stabbed him.
Stabbed me, and I flew in a helicopter. I died twice, but you know what? I'm a reborn Christian, and I've just hugged her, and I told her. She said, I apologize. I was young, and we were on drugs.
I was stupid. Like, I made a mistake. I was drunk. I mean, you know.
Yeah, she killed me. Give me a hug. I love you, girl. Don't worry about it. Come and see me preach in 3 weeks.
I'm on Facebook.
What did he say? Come and hear me preach in 2 weeks?
Come and hear me preach, yeah. Yeah.
Pat, is there a lot of stabbings up here at Walmart in northern Wisconsin?
I was going to make some kind of a comment about Clark County, but, you know, it's...
I'm not sure, Peter Rapine, if someone had stabbed me, whether I would have that much. I might forgive them. I would go to another aisle if I saw them at Walmart.
Yeah. Especially, why is there video running up this? Right. You know?
Yeah. I mean, clearly he just ran into her. And he's a new man, and he just wanted to say hi and post it for his fans on TikTok.
My favorite line is that he says, it's always about the TikTok.
Well, my favorite line, he says, she killed me twice. Like, yeah, he died twice. In the helicopter twice. Yeah.
The guy was med-flighted? Oh, my God.
Yes, there's a lot of backstory to that one.
A lot going on there.
Yeah, that's got many layers about youth, stupidity, alcohol, sharp instruments.
Yeah, no sharp instruments, just a little alcohol right now. All right, Ray Pine, next headline.
This one comes to us from Minnesota, and it was from the end of the Timberwolves-Warriors series, the game after the Timberwolves closed the series out, so it's like 5 or 6 days old. A Timberwolves fan did a bump on live TV.
A Timberwolves fan, which is right across the river here. We're not too far away from Minnesota that way. Sorry. Over here. Yeah. I did a bump. Explain to people who might not know what a bump is, Ray Pun.
So I'll try to say this without getting you guys in too much trouble. Doing a small amount of a certain type of party drug that you would see in like an 80s movie.
Cocaine, we can say that.
Miami. Oh, you can say cocaine? Okay. Yeah. Doing a little bit of cocaine. Yeah. So he's in the stands, and he pulls out a little vial, taps it onto the top of his hand, and just blows it.
and the thing is, somebody, some director, and Kreitler was on TV, someone said, take camera one and let it on the air.
I'm still stuck on bump. That's how old I am. That bump is the little shot glass of Jameson that you order with a beer. And, you know, so you get a beer and you get a bump.
Yeah.
You kids and your what you've done to our definitions. You've taken.
Did they used to call it a key? What do they call it?
What do they call blowback in your day, Pat?
I believe that was called Friday.
Happy Friday, everybody. This is fun. All right. Anything else on that?
No.
There's really nothing else you can say about
some
that.
Guy
we can't top live drug use on TV.
All right. One final headline here, one or two, quickly.
Yeah, one final headline reads, Dom explains how she prepares to poop on someone.
Dom?
And by Dom, it's short for the word dominatrix.
Oh.
So this woman is a dominatrix who gets paid to poop on men. And she gives us a rundown into how she prepares for this the night before. And we have some good audio for it.
We have audio? All right, here we go.
Prepare for my Dom session with me. So the prep for this session starts the night before because this man likes to be... on. If you are new here, yes, right. We do this every single month. LOL. I wanted Jamaican food, so we got Jamaican food this time. Of course, I have to try to eat it all. If you know about Jamaican food, this was so much food.
All
but
right,
I did
this
not.
Is enough. Kreitler right now is gone. I used to be a legitimate anchor.
I used to have house rules here
on television, and I got stuck with all ball talking about a dominatrix having a beverage.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. On that note, Peter Rapine, thank you. You can find all these stories at epomsworld.com, the wild and wacky of human behavior, the week in review. Thank you, Peter. Have a great and safe trip over to the EU. We'll talk to you when you get back.
Take care.
That's all for this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. As always, if you want to hear the rest of the week's shows, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And as Todd always says, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you on Monday.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.